Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the book of Matthew. It's chapter 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. Then we're going to skip a section and we're going to read 18 through 23. This is a story that you have heard before. I want you to really open your ears, open your heart, and see if there's something new or different about this story today. It's the parable of the sower, as Ashley was talking about. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seeds fell on a path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no roots, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 30, some 60. If you have ears, listen." Then we go to verse 18. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. That is what was sown on the path. And what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one that hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one that hears the word. But the cares of this world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God." Would you pray with me now? Lord, I ask that I decrease and that you and your word increase so that everyone hears what you are saying to each one of us today. Amen. As many of you know, I grew up in East Wake County, Zebulon to be specific, on a tobacco farm. And one thing for sure is we did not refer to the land as soil. We called it dirt. Yep, we called it dirt. We didn't, get soily. We got dirty. You've heard this parable before, but have you ever really listened to it? Did you ever think that it's about dirt and that Jesus was talking about us being dirt? Did you ever realize just what he was saying? This is one of, I think maybe the only one, is one of the few parables that there's a second part that actually explains the gospel text. And maybe he felt that these guys following him around just didn't get it, or they were stumped by it, or maybe they were just a little bit offended about being called dirt. If you think about it this way, does it offend you just a little bit to be called dirt? Well, I've read and I've studied this passage, many thoughts since Jay talked to me about being here this week, and I came to the realization that it's not really about dirt. It's about my heart, my actions, my thoughts. And to be honest, I had to admit that maybe my heart was just a little bit dirty. I don't want to say it's dirt, but just a little bit like dirt. As I worked on it, the only question is, what kind of dirt was I going to be? What kind of dirt are you going to choose to be? Because, you know, we're different from dirt. Dirt can't decide what it wants to be. But we can. We get to choose. In fact, if Jesus had been traveling around Wake County or Durham County or North Carolina while he told these stories, he would probably talk about dirt that really wasn't dirt. Many of you may know this type of dirt. It's hard-packed clay. You know, the kind of dirt that you can't even dig in, and you feel like you need a jackhammer to get through it, and when you do, if you drop a seed, chances are nothing's going to happen because it never drains. It's just that hard-packed clay. No amount of rain or watering changes it. It is just rock clay. Or maybe there would be a thin topsoil. We have that in this area, and it looks pretty on the surface, but water runs off of it quickly. Or maybe sand from our beautiful beaches and our riverbanks. Oh, yes, but we know, too, that sand doesn't provide enough nutrients, and it can't hold water any better than a cheap paper towel. Let's face it, it's beautiful. But then again, maybe your neighborhood is like ours, where it was woods at one time, and they didn't cut down all the trees. They cut down trees and built houses, but they left quite a few of them. And when I try to dig in my front yard, it is filled with so many twisted roots and thorns and rocks and everything else. It's like digging in a log pile. I have literally cut roots. I mean, it's just filled with that. Or the dirt, you know, you think it's a flower bed, and you start digging down, and there's rocks underneath, and you feel like, well, I hit gravel pit. But then again, maybe he would talk about this, some of the rich, beautiful soil that we have around here that seems to grow anything and everything. If you just toss a seed out, something will come up. A plant will spring up. Because we do have that kind around here. But bottom line is, it's dirt. And even though it comes in many disguises, we get to choose the type of dirt, the type of heart that we want to be. So maybe that makes us smarter than dirt. You've probably heard the opposite of that sometime in your life. Smarter than dirt because we don't accept the conditions of our heart and soul. Because we can change them, we can adapt them, we can grow them if we pay attention. But you know, the truth is, as I really thought about this parable, all those categories seem to fit me. Yeah. There are times when I am like that beaten down path that cannot accept another word, even a good word, even a word from the Lord. It just bounces off the hard surface of my weariness and my stubbornness, waiting for a bird to come and eat it. I know what it's like to be that path. And yes, sometimes I am so shallow, it startles me. I take the easy route, the unthinking, the cliched route, and mouth something, you know, some word or word of the Lord, and even though it might sound good at first, there isn't any depth to it, and it doesn't sustain me or the people that hear it when things get difficult. I know what it means to be that rocky, shallow soil. Most often, though, I have to admit, I'm the weedy, thorny type. I got so many thoughts, ideas, and jobs running around, it's even hard for me to remember what's next. Going here, going there, booked up solid, even with church work. I'm rushing off to do one thing or another, and and then forget the why, the wherefores, the what am I really doing? Even the good word gets choked up out of me, out of my busyness. I know what it's like to be thorny soil. But once in a while, by the grace of God, I can find the space, I can find the depth, I can find the growing time to let God's word take root in me and begin to show some fruit. I do know what it's like to be good soil. So now, what would really be the worst than being dirt would be to continue to live like that, slipping from one type to the other, from shallow to thorny to just, you know, go back and forth. Oh, sure, we have a variety of influences that cause those weaker stakes to take over if we let them. But let's not let them. Let's be smarter than dirt. Let's figure out what it takes to cultivate the good soil of our souls. Let's engage in those practices that breaks up the stones in the rocky soil, that gets rid of the hard edges, the failures and the mistakes that we have made that we tend to hold on to for just way too long. Let's get an attitude of focusing on the opportunities to hear the word, to go deeper than that path surface. Let's pay attention. Let's prioritize our lives as much as we can so that those unessential thorns don't become huge issues that can choke out what is really important to our lives. And let us tend that good soil by spending time in service, in worship, in talking, in caring about each other, always listening for the good word. As I said earlier, this is one parable where Jesus explains what he's talking about. So we don't have to hunt around for meaning. Instead, we need to look for applications and how to live into this parable. But how do we do it? Do you remember your homework assignment from last week that Jay gave you? Or are you going to be the kid that shows up and the dog ate his homework next Sunday? All right, I'm going to help you out. Jay asked you to think about this, to make a list. How do I live out a life of Christ-like love? How do I live out a life of Christ-like love? We're all called into ministries, and we've been given gifts to share. You may not know about it, and your gifts change, but you've each got one. Whether it's welcoming people into our worship service, providing a meal for great minds, coming together to sing through the hymnal and share lunch together on Thursday at 11:30. I'll throw that in. Reading scripture, sewing these precious clothes, knitting prayer shawls. Did you know? You're going through a tough time, or you have someone that's going through a tough time, we've got a prayer shawl that's been prayed over you for that person to have. Assisting with communion, leading Sunday school, just attending Sunday school, helping with our youth programs, with our kids' programs, playing together on Thursday mornings at our little seedlings programs for the really young kids. Building houses together for habitat. Listening, praying, just being together. Singing in the choir, being part of our music program. Share your gifts. This is what we need. This is how we change our dirt and we don't get stuck in one particular type. And as we change our hearts, as we live out this parable, we're going to change the world. We're going to make it a better place. So work on your homework assignment. Jay asked for the list and to be specific. So do your homework because he's going to be looking for it.